finish this chapter, Genesis, or chapter 41, I'm sorry. Genesis 41, we'll start there. In our last study in the life of Joseph, we saw the rise of Joseph to power as prime minister over all of Israel, or over all of Egypt. And again, as we've seen unfold in Joseph's life, we've seen the mighty hand of God at work and how He sovereignly works in His people's lives. And He has events come to pass as He's pleased. As He's pleased. And we know that this is by His will and by His decree from eternity. And Joseph's rise to power as second in command over all of Egypt has been decreed by God. And that which our great God decrees, He has come to pass. And just think of our salvation in Christ. He decreed that we would be saved in Christ. And He made it come to pass, didn't He? He made it come to pass. And truly, as we saw Joseph taken out of prison and brought before Pharaoh, and then he interprets the dreams of Pharaoh, and then he's made second in command, again, over all of Egypt. Truly, we've seen that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and He turneth it whithersoever He will. He just turned it. He turned the king's heart. It's incredible. Now let's read our text. Joseph's been promoted by Pharaoh to second in command over all of Egypt. He's going to be in charge of storing food for 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of famine. And again, all this is falling out as we read the text. Never forget that all this is falling out according to the sovereign will and the decree of our great God. And His eternal purpose is being accomplished right before our eyes. So let's read verses 37 to 46 now. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in all the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now remember, all his wise men couldn't interpret the dreams, but Joseph did. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. He's the only one who's been able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Again, as I said last week, or 2 weeks ago, this is where the type breaks down. Joseph has Pharaoh over him. Christ has no one over him. He's God. He rules and reigns. So that's where the type, as Joseph is a type of Christ, starts to break down. And every type will break down, because Christ is the substance, and they're but types and shadows, beloved. But we will see that Pharaoh is the dispenser of all the bread and corn, is like Christ, who is our life. He's the dispenser of all spiritual blessings to God's people. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Look at that, over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. Remember, he was 17 years old when he went into slavery. Oh my. How old was our Lord when He started His ministry? 30 years old. Oh my. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So we see that Pharaoh gave Joseph an Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paneah, and even the name of Joseph has reference to our glorious Savior, beloved. Now Pharaoh did not know this, but again, all this was falling out according to God's sovereign plan and decree. The name Zaphnath-Paneah means treasury of the glorious rest. Treasury of the glorious rest. And is not Jesus Christ the glorious rest of his people? He's the glorious rest for his people. And it's in him and him alone who the believer finds true rest. We find rest from our labors and we find rest for our souls. We've ceased from our labors, beloved. And we've entered into the rest of Christ. And the Lord is now our Sabbath, isn't he? He's our Sabbath. He's our rest. He's our rest. And true rest from the labors of work-based religion is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. True rest for our souls is only found in him. And so what a glorious rest the born-again, blood-washed believer has, as the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who shed his precious blood to redeem our eternal souls. Let's read verses 41 and 40-43 again. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. He was a slave in Potiphar's house. Then he was cast into prison. And now he's set over all the land of Egypt. Only God could do this, beloved. Only God could make this come to pass. See, I have set thee, see, again, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands, beloved. I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now note that Pharaoh didn't just make Joseph the master over the corn gathering or the food gathering, did he? No, and that's what Joseph said. Just get you a man that can do this for you. Get all this set aside. And he was just speaking about getting the food together. Well, here's Pharaoh. He made him master over all of Egypt. He made him master over all. So, again, what's passed here is the wondrous power of our great God at work. The sovereign power of our great God. That the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, is but putty in the hands of the Lord. He just moves him to whatever he wants. Now remember that in what we see around our world too. The Lord's in control, beloved. He's in full control. He's in full control. And again, the king of Egypt has just put a former slave, a prisoner, in control of all of Egypt. Oh my. It's wondrous, isn't it? It's absolutely wondrous. So we see again the unfolding right before us in the scripture here of God's sovereign will and purpose being accomplished by our great God. By our great God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, again, verse 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Now remember the contempt that Potiphar's wife had over Joseph? Turn, if you would, to Genesis 39. Remember when she spoke about Joseph? She said, you bought this Hebrew slave? Remember how when we looked at that, she spoke that with contempt? Now he's second in command. What would some of Pharaoh's court think about this? Well, there probably were some noses bent out of shape, wasn't there? But God's sovereign will be accomplished, beloved, no matter what. No matter what. Look at Genesis 39, verses 14. That she called the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. She's speaking with contempt there, beloved. She's, this is a Hebrew slave. And he Potiphar put him in command of the house. Well, it wasn't Potiphar that did it. He's just a tool in the hands of our great master, beloved. Right? See, he hath brought in the Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. So there's her slanderous spin. And we know Joseph's totally innocent. Then look at verse 17. And she spake unto him according to these words. Again, the Hebrew servant mentions mentions again that he's a Hebrew. Which thou hast bought unto us, came into this house to mock me. Now, beloved, a Hebrew. Now think of this. Now, beloved, a Hebrew, no less, a foreigner. A foreigner has power over all the people of one of the greatest nations in ancient times. This is before they were wiped out at the Red Sea. Egypt was one of the greatest ancient nations for trade and for military. And now here a foreigner, a Hebrew no less, has power over all the people of one of the greatest nations in ancient times. A nation of much wealth, again a very formidable army. And all this has come to pass by God's sovereign hand and decree. That which he decreed in eternity is now coming to pass right before. Now Joseph has no idea, right? You imagine how Joseph felt? Remember he told the butler, just remember me. I'm here unjustly. Well, now look what happened. Oh my goodness. And again, let us never forget that the same God, the one true God who has planned out salvation in eternity, who's paid for and obtained our redemption, is the same God who's at work right here in Joseph's life. Same God. He don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, beloved. So what comfort we can glean. And he's going to take us home. He's going to take, just as he had Joseph rise up to power, he's going to take us home, beloved. So again, what comfort we can find here. The God of the universe who has ordered all the things that have come to pass in Joseph's life is the very one who has saved us. Is the very one who has saved us. And the very one who keeps us. And what do we say? Glory to his name. Glory to his name. So why do we worry? Why do we stew about things when they occur? The flesh, eh? Yeah, we have the flesh, beloved. And what do we cry out to our King? Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief, Lord. Now, Pharaoh would have made sure that the whole kingdom was to know about Joseph being now raised to power as second in command, as prime minister over all the land. Verses 41 to 46 hint at that. Let's read verse 42 now. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. So we see that Pharaoh took the ring off his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. Some commentators believe that this is a signet ring. This is a signet ring. Which Pharaoh's seal upon it, and by which he sealed public deeds and anything he wanted to have the royal seal upon, because he's given Joseph now authority over all the land. All the land. All authority over all of Egypt. And we see Pharaoh arrayed Joseph in vestures of fine linen. Most commentators say that's the best linen that they had available in Egypt. So he's went from prison garb, slave, being a slave, to prison garb, to now being arrayed in the finest linen in all of Egypt. My. And why did he have to have this fine linen on? To make him presentable to the king, beloved. And Pharaoh gave it to him. We have given to us the righteousness of Christ, beloved, to make us able to be in the presence of the King of glory. And it's God the Father who arrays us in the finest linen. In Luke, it's called the best robe. In Luke 15, the best robe. Turn, if you would, there, the prodigal son. We'll just look at that quick. Oh, Joseph has had the garments of slavery and being a prisoner replaced with the garments of royalty, beloved. Garments that only a king would be allowed to wear. Again, remember the prodigal son here in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Remember his clothes had been soiled. He'd been working in the pig pens. Right? Finally came to his right mind. Well, what happens when we're born again? We come to our right mind, don't we? And we flee to the Father, don't we? We go back to the Father. And we come to Him just as we are, right? In our soiled clothes. From being in the pen of this world. Look at this. This is wonderful. Luke 15, 21 to 24. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And we know, we proclaim we've sinned against the Father. He's the one we sinned against. When the Lord regenerates us, we confess we've sinned against Him. And look at this. And then no more worthy to be called thy son. Isn't that not what we say? Lord, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of this. But look at this. But the Father said to His servants, bring forth, singular, the best robe. Ah, that pictures the righteousness of Christ, beloved. The best robe. Put it on Him. Put it on Him. Oh, and look at this. And put a ring on His hand. He's my son. He's not a servant. That's what the Father's saying. And shoes on His feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins, beloved. And is alive again. Glory to His name. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So we see in our text then that Joseph is now clothed in fine linen. And it also says he has a gold chain about his neck. Look at verse 42. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 41. Verse 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. A gold chain about his neck. Turn, if you would, to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Now, a chain of gold about the neck during this time was a symbol of authority throughout Egyptian history, particularly in the 12th dynasty. And all these details that we see coming forth in the scriptures here are all true of Egypt's culture of the period. All true. All true. And we see Daniel here over in Daniel chapter 5. He's arrayed with a chain of gold by King Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son. Daniel chapter 5, verse 7, 16, and 29. 7 first. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers to the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck. Look at that. It's a sign of authority, beloved. And shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Remember the letters appeared? Didn't know what it was. The words appeared. And I have heard, look at verse 16. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck. Again, it's a picture of authority, beloved. It's a picture of authority. Thou shalt be the third ruler in thy kingdom. Then verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet. Again, he's clothed to be in the presence of the king. And put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. So again, it's cultural back then. This is what they did. It showed that one had authority. It showed that one had authority. And let us never lose sight of the pictures here before us. Christ, the church of Christ is adorned in the righteous robe. The righteous robe of Christ's righteousness. We're arrayed in that. And like Joseph, how differently clad from the former wretchedness of our state. We were like Joseph. Were we not in the prison house of sin? Unable to get out? Unable to free ourselves? Well, the Lord set us free, hasn't He? It's wonderful. And now we're clothed in fine linen, beloved. The best robe. The best robe. Oh my. King's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship him. Worship thou him. Psalm 45, verses 9 to 11, speaking of the bride of Christ. Oh, she's adorned in gold of Ophir. Oh, my. And the king, the Lord, shall greatly desire thy beauty. God the Father sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ, beloved. And never forget that Christ loves his bride. He loves her so much that he gave his life. His life for. Oh my. Now let's go back to our text and look at verse 43. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him a ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now Pharaoh had many chariots. He had many chariots. He's Pharaoh. He's king. He had many chariots, and when he rode through his kingdom, he always rode in the first chariot. In the first chariot. And according to their positions of authority, others would ride in the chariots that followed. That followed. Again, this was all part of the Egyptian culture. And we see here in our text that Pharaoh made Joseph to ride in the second chariot. Right behind him. Right behind him. Which publicly declared that Joseph was second in command over all of Egypt. Publicly declared. Every time Pharaoh went through Egypt and Joseph was with him, it was declared as they went, bow the knee. Bow the knee. Bow the knee to Pharaoh and bow the knee to the rulers with him. My. So marvel what's come to pass. In just a few short verses, again, Joseph has went from Potiphar's house to the prison. It's a second in command over all of Egypt. And it's all come to pass by the sovereign, almighty hand of God. All of it. All of it. And again, think of this. All the other prominent men who may have been in line for that position are now all under Joseph. They're all under him. They're all under him by God's doing, by his will and decree. And during these times, Pharaoh's royal servants, his royal guard, would go before the chariots with a public cry, bow the knee. The king is coming. Bow the knee. And they'd bow. They'd bow the knee. And this was done not only to Pharaoh, as we see in our text, but also to Joseph. Look at verse 43. And he made him to ride in the second chariot and which he had, and they cried before him, being Joseph, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Bow the knee. And this is a token of veneration and respect to Pharaoh and to Joseph, because he's his prime minister. He's second in command. And then we see in the latter part of verse 43 that Pharaoh has appointed Joseph to be governor over the whole land. He's invested in him with that office and made him appear to be so before the people. Look at the latter part. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Again, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands. He just turns it to wherever he wants to do his will. To do his will. And again, Joseph's exaltation was all according to God's sovereign decree. That which God had planned and purposed in eternity is unfolding right before us in the Scriptures. Unfolding right before us in the Scriptures. And this was executed to typify, one commentator said, the glorious exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorified God-man. Now again, some of the prominent Egyptians probably resented the fact that Joseph was placed in authority over them, but there's absolutely nothing they could do to change. Nothing they could do to change what Pharaoh had done. Any open rebellion would have resulted in their execution, wouldn't it? It would have. Look at verse 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Look at that. He's got absolute control. The only one he's answerable to is Pharaoh. My. And again, Pharaoh's servants went before him, before Joseph, crying, bow the knee, to typify all of God's preachers who declare that our Heavenly Father has sent his darling son. Sent his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as his exalted king on the holy hill of Zion. And we cry, bow the knee, receive him. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, or die in your sins and go to a Christless eternity. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Blessed are God's people. And while he was here on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of man, wasn't he? He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was found in the fashion of as a man, and he humbled himself, beloved. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, all as our substitute, even the death of the cross. And now God has highly exalted him, isn't he? Highly exalted him. Oh, he was bought low in his condescension, but now God's highly exalted him. He's highly exalted him, and he's given him a name which is above every name. Every name. I was talking to someone the other night, and they said, well, there when it talks about Jesus, every knee shall bow, that's just believers. And I said, no. That's everyone who's ever lived shall bow their knee and profess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ah, that's our King. Oh, my. And this is the earnest, sincere cry that comes from the lips of all of God's people, or preachers. Bow down to King Jesus. Bow to the glorified God, man. He's the only Savior of sinners. The only one. Let's read verses 45 and 46 now. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So we see here that Pharaoh again gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah, which again means treasury of the glorious rest. And again, only the Lord Jesus Christ is the rest for his people. And we see then that Pharaoh also gave to Joseph a wife, an Egyptian, a woman by the name of as Enath. And we see that she's the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On. Again, this was all according to God's sovereign plan and purpose. And remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was given a bride too, wasn't he? By the Father. Yeah, he was given a bride by the Father. Those of his choosing. Again, which pictures. And where did we come from? Egypt. And what does Egypt picture? The world. The world. Joseph was given a bride from Egypt. Oh my. And what a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he, the Lord Jesus Christ, he purchased us with his own precious blood. And now he's exalted in glory, beloved. Again, we see in verse 46 that Joseph was 30 years old. Remember again, he's 17 years old. 13 years have come to pass, beloved. That's a long time. 13 years have come to pass. And think of this. He's 30 years old now. He's been in the Egyptian nation for 13 years. He knows the culture now. He knows the culture. He probably speaks the language fluently. He knows, he's well acquainted with the ways of the Egyptians. He's been in charge of all of Potiphar's house, remember? And in the prison, the jailer put him in charge of all the prisoners there. So he knows the Egyptian culture now, and now God raises him to second in command over all of Egypt. So he's prepared. He's prepared. And we see twice in these verses of Scripture we read where Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Last part of verse 44 and once in the last part of verse 45, John Gill brings forth that this probably refers to two different trips that Joseph made throughout all the land of Egypt, just to survey what was happening and to find where he would put the dispensaries of the grain. And once Joseph was dressed in his royal garments, all the Egyptians throughout the land would know that he was their prime minister. By the gold chain about his neck, by the ring on his finger, they would all know. And again, he would choose the best places that would be suitable for the building of the attended storehouses of grain during the 7 years of plenty. And he would also appoint those who were in charge of that grain, just as he told Pharaoh that the person that he put in charge of that should do that. And he would give them the needed instructions to carry out their order, his orders. And never forget this. I want to close with this. Never forget this. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not just idly sitting upon the throne of glory. He's not just sitting idly on the throne of glory with hopes that things will work out themselves. He's not doing that. Some foolish false preachers proclaim that. Right? Well, he's hoping things will work out. Or he's done everything he can. Now he's just like, let it spin off into the... No. 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 I like what you guys have heard me say it more times, and I'm going to keep saying it. There's not a maverick molecule in all this universe. Not one. Not one. That doesn't... The Lord's in full control. That dust we see in the sunlight, it's all ordained by God to be there. No, nothing happens by chance. There's no such thing as chance. He is right now seated on the right hand of the Father. He's working all things out after the counsel of His own will, beloved. And all things are naked and open to His eyes. Everything is naked and open to Him. The eyes of Jesus Christ, the risen, exalted God, man. He knows all things. And Jesus Christ, our sovereign, risen, exalted King, knows the end from the beginning, doesn't he? Because that's what the Scripture says. That's what the Scripture says. He ordained the end from the beginning. He ordained the end from the beginning. And he does all according to his sovereign will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Daniel wrote that. Nebuchadnezzar said that. After he'd been eating grass for a while. He thought he was something. The Lord put him in the dirt, didn't he? But then he said, this God is the God. And he does whatever he pleases. And remember, he's a great leader who's saying this. And he says he does whatever he pleases with the army in heaven, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And none can stay his hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows who his lost sheep are, beloved. And he has appointed the time of love for them to come to him. To come to them, him. And he seeks them out. He seeks them out. He brings them under the preaching of the gospel to himself by his sovereign, irresistible power. Invincible power. You cannot resist the power of the Holy Spirit of God. My. And he makes us willing in the day of his power, and we say glory to his name. Don't we? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your mercy and goodness and grace to us. Thank you that you've allowed us to come together to look in thy word, and as we study the life of Joseph, oh, how clearly and evidently we see forth, brought forth the hand of your almighty power brought forth. And how you move kings' hearts, and how you have things come to pass all according to thy will and purpose. And let we who are your people take refuge and glean great comfort from the fact that you do that in every one of your sheep's lives. Glory to you, Lord. We stand amazed, Lord, at who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.